Lord, I praise you today. We glorify you today. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your power, for your presence. We bless your name this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Won't you give the Lord a good hand clap of praise this morning? Amen. Amen. Oh, we bless your name, Lord. We bless your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While you're standing, let's get our Bibles and we'll go right into the Word of God. While you're turning there, thank you, musicians and singers. While you're turning there, I want to say what a delight it is to be back here at Truth Camp 2013. It's unbelievable that we are here near the end of July and time is flying by, but we're glad you're here, young people, and we're believing for great things this week. And I think we just got off to a real good start last night. Amen. Brother Hatfield blessed us, delivered a mighty word from God. I tell you what, we just hit the ground running. And we just believe in the Lord today. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. And we're going to start reading in verse number 28. A very familiar passage of Scripture this morning. Isaiah 40, and we're going to start reading in verse 28. You've come to your place in Scripture there with us. Won't you say amen? All right. The Bible says, the prophet asking the question, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. Aren't you glad for that today? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Amen. Let's pray together one more time. Ask the Lord to bless as we break the bread of life together this morning. Father, we thank you once again for the privilege that we have to come together this week of camp. We thank you for every heart and life, every young person, child that is represented. Lord, we praise you today for what you've done in our midst already. Father, we ask this morning would be no exception. I pray that your anointing would rest upon every ear and every heart that is in this building. Let your word come alive today. I pray, Father, you'd challenge us and change us, transform us, and help us to leave here differently than the way that we came. Lord, we pray your anointing rest and speak to us today. Touch my mind and these lips to preach this message the way you'd have it to be done. We'll give you all the thanks and praise, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. With the help of the Lord, and I'm going to do my best not to take up too much of your time, but we want to deliver what the Lord has laid upon our hearts this morning. With the help of the Lord, I'd like to preach out of this very familiar passage of Scripture. I'm aware this morning that you've probably heard hundreds, if not thousands, of messages out of this in the course of years of you hearing preaching and things of that nature, but would like to unpack this a little bit today, and I'd like to preach on this thought, and that is eagle's wings and dove's eyes. Amen. Eagle's wings and dove's eyes. Look over to your neighbor, nudge him, and say, I'm believing for God to transform me today. Go ahead and tell him, oh, I want to take up eagle's wings, and I want to have dove's eyes. Amen. Eagle's wings and dove's eyes. As we look at this morning, and as we're reading this text, you must understand that in the course of this prophecy that was given by Isaiah, we come to see that Israel had been in a hard place. For the sake of time this morning, I won't go through and talk about all the things that have been going on and all of the hardships that they had been facing, but nonetheless, there was discouragement. Nonetheless, there was trouble, trial, and tribulation upon them. as they were seeking God's direction, as they were looking for hope to be restored once again amongst them, and looking for a way out, looking for escape from the bondage, and looking for escape from the oppression as to which they had been enduring. And as we look at this in chapter 40, when you get to the first verse, the word of the Lord comes to Isaiah, and he begins to tell Isaiah, he said, "Speak comfort to my people." Said, "I want you to speak comfortably to them. I want you to let them know as to what I'm going to do in their midst. I want you to let them know that I am a God of power and hope, that I am a God as that's going to be able to deliver them out of the situation that they're in. But there must be some things that happen in their lives. And as a course of a nation, as Isaiah was speaking to them, he was directing them back to a place. Back to a place where they would get their hope and their confidence, turn their hearts and their eyes once again unto the Lord. As we look and pick up reading here at verse 28, Isaiah asks the question. He says, "Hast thou not known, and hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is he weary." This morning, can I say, young people, I've come today with a burden upon my heart, because I understand in the day and time in which we live that we are seeing young people, this generation. I appreciate what Brother Hatfield said last night, for the simple fact we need some men of God. We need some folks that'll say one more time and look at a generation and say, "Yes, we believe in you, and yes, we believe that you can accomplish great things for God, and yes, we believe that God wants to use you in extraordinary ways." But I must say that as we look across all of the landscape of the church and young people, we're coming to find as to where there is real discouragement and despondency. We're finding as to where the enemy, you must understand, he doesn't care what church we go to, and he doesn't care who our pastor is, and he doesn't care how long daddy or mama has served in the church. He doesn't care the situations. I want you to know this morning that sin is no respecter of persons, of age, of where you are, where you're from. It doesn't matter your pedigree, your resume, all of these types of things. You must understand this morning, and I think many of you know very well, the enemy seeks to shut this generation up. He seeks to set and put his foot on our neck, in the sense that we would sit down and do nothing for the sake of the kingdom. He would love to isolate. He would love to make you feel inferior. He would love to make you feel as if there's no point in going on. But this morning, can I remind you? This morning, can I tell a young person in this house who might feel discouraged, despondent, disconnected from what God wants in their lives? I believe in a God of hope and power and mercy and provision. And I believe today there's a clarion call from heaven that it's time to get up once again and do something for the kingdom of God. Time to get up and do something for the kingdom of God. Here Isaiah posed a question. He said, "Haven't you heard? Haven't you known?" I was standing last night talking with a brother, and as we was looking out over the sea of faces here at camp, and we've been a part of Truth Camp for years and years and years, and I get excited seeing the new faces, and I get excited seeing new churches come. But in the same token, I've watched some of you who came up from kids camp, and now you're youth campers, and some of you counselors now, and all these different types of things, and it warms my heart as I've seen growth, and as we see what God has done. You and I I have been in some of the places and times of this camp where we have felt the glory of God in such a way. We have felt His power so strong. There's been times I thought we was going to get raptured on out of the building. Amen. As we felt the glory of God. Many of you come from places and from churches where you have Bible-believing, truth-preaching pastors and youth pastors. And I thank God for that. I thank God for your experience. But sometimes along the way, our experience can wane. Sometimes along the way, we can get to a place as to where we're wondering if God's going to do everything that we believed Him to do, if God's going to accomplish everything that we've been standing on His word for, that if there really is something that God has for us, am I going to be able to break out of the things? Maybe today there are some of you sitting here and you're surrounded by situations in your family, surrounded by some things that are going on that are not ideal, and some things try to suffocate the plan of God and the will of God out of your life. But this morning, if I can stir your mind a little bit and help you remember where God has brought you from and where He's taken you to, if I can help you remember this morning the times of prayer and praise that we've spent together. Oh, can I remind you? Can I ask what Isaiah said? Don't you remember? Haven't you heard? Has it been so long for the touch of God to stir your heart that we have forgotten? I believe not. I believe not. Sometimes we've just got to get back to a place of remembrance. Sometimes we got to get back to a place as to where we can be stirred once again to say, Lord, we know the Apostle Paul told young Timothy, he said, to stir up that gift. He said, I saw the faith in your mom and in your grandma. He said, don't be discouraged, young Timothy. Don't you be disheartened, sir. He said, but go back in your remembrance. Remember what God has done. Remember the work that God has done. Remember when I've laid hands on you. Remember when He's spoken to your soul. Can I tell a young person here today, it'd be good to go back in the corridors of our mind today in moments of doubt and discouragement and desperation and say, if God could deliver me then, if God could do a work at that time, there are some of you, you shouldn't be here today. The enemy would have choked you out, would have killed you, but I'm glad Satan's contract on my life and your life has been canceled, and we're still standing here. We're still here this morning. We're still got a song. We still got a worship. We still got a praise. Won't you remember what He's done? Remember what He's done. Isaiah said, listen, he said, what I want you to do, he said, I know it's a bad time. I know it's a confusing time. But he said, I've got to get your mind back to the place where it needs to be. I've got to stir you to look back one more time where your hope is and where your help is. Understand, young person, I know today that it's very easy for us as we become encumbered with the things that are surrounding us, with the things that pull at us and nag at us, that we find ourselves in such a way as to where we are focusing on the things that are around us. This morning, as Isaiah was telling them to look unto Him, to look unto God, to look unto the one who is the Creator, the one who doesn't grow faint and doesn't grow weary. Can I remind you this morning, young person, is that just because we find ourselves in a place of chaos, because we find ourselves in a place of confusion, just because we find ourselves in a place of hurt, it does not mean that God does not have a plan. Hear me this morning. It does not mean when we are confused or beside ourselves, bear with me, I'm going somewhere with this. It doesn't mean that when we are confused, sometimes we think that because we don't have an answer,
that heaven must not have an answer. We think sometimes that because we're anxious, that possibly God is anxious. Because oftentimes we have this idea that how we're feeling, surely maybe that's how God must be feeling about the situation. But I want to tell someone here this morning is that no matter how desperate or how destitute certain events might be in your life, I can assure you this morning that God is not sitting in heaven wringing his hands wondering what he's going to do. He is not looking at your situation and saying, my, I didn't have a plan for that. He's not looking at your predicament and saying, well, I'm all out of answers and I'm all out of power. Let me remind you this morning, the God that we serve, he has never changed his position. He has never lost his power. Wherever you might be today, that's why Isaiah said, look unto him. Get your attention back to where he's at. He doesn't fail. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't faint. He doesn't grow weary. I want to declare, heaven is still his throne and earth is still his footstool. He still has a purpose and he still has a plan in your life this morning. Hear me. Sometimes we get to the point as to where we're feeling confused and tossed. And Isaiah said, I want you to direct your attention again, because what happens, and I'm not here to add anything to what Brother Hatfield said last night, because he did it marvelously. But one of the things that happen when we worship is not only does God get the glory, but as he receives the glory, as he is lifted up, when you can put yourself in a place of worship, when you can put your attention upon him, when you can begin to magnify him, what happens is you begin to lose your infatuation with the things that are going on around you. You begin to lose your focus on the problems that are going on. Come on here. Understand, Isaiah said this. He said, you got to pay attention. Look back to who he is. And he makes this proclamation. He said, but they that wait upon the Lord. Can I say right here that in this context, the word wait has two meanings. It does not mean what is popularly interpreted as I'm just going to sit back and I'm just waiting on the Lord to do something. Come on here, young people. I'm just going to wait around here. I'm going to wait around here at youth camp. And maybe by Thursday night, maybe by Wednesday night, if God's got something for me, he'll drop it into my lap. Maybe if God's got a plan for me, he'll shake me a little bit. No, sir, no, ma'am. It doesn't connotate that meaning. One of the first things that wait there means is it means to worship. Amen. To worship the Lord. Can I say, Isaiah was calling the people to a place of transformation. But before transformation could happen, their heart had to be stirred one more time to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In other words, in essence, he said, I know you're in trouble. I know there's a lot going on. But if you can get past the mess, if you can get past the junk, if you can get past the trial, if you can begin to worship and magnify him, it's going to revolutionize. It's going to change your situation. Can I tell someone tonight? Is that no matter where you're at, if there would be somebody who'd be brave enough and dare to step out, even when you don't feel like it, even when nobody else is shouting, even when nobody else is saying amen, even when nobody else has a praise, that we come to a point, we square our shoulders, look the devil in the eye, and say, I'm going to bless his name anyway. I'm going to praise. I'm going to worship. I'm going to put my attention upon him. Come on here. Come on here. Worship. You can actually nearly say it like worth-ship. Worth. It means that you put a tremendous value on something or someone. You have them so highly regarded that you say, you're worth everything to me. You're worth everything to me. Can I tell you, young people, there's some of you, your energy, your time, your talent, your resources being drained. Your impact is becoming less effective because we find ourselves looking at all the things that are going on, troubled on every side, don't know what's going on. But can I remind someone today, it's time to look up one more time. It's time to lift up those hands that are heavy. It's time to open our mouths one more time, as Brother Hatfield said, and make a little noise. And while we're making a noise, we're going to make a difference. And one of the greatest differences is you're going to see your troubles, your burden, your tribulation will subside. As you begin to worship, as you begin to praise the one that can bring you out, the one that can bring you through. Oh, we know the story as the children of Israel came to the Red Sea. They was there screaming, crying. Said, Pastor Moses, did you bring us out here to die? Is this how it's going to end? And we know the story, we know the miracle that God does. But I believe in the midst of the confusion, in the midst of the things they were scared of, and the death that seemed to surround them, the Bible leads me to believe there was one young lady who had a different outlook, because there was one who had a song ready of worship once they crossed over the Red Sea. We know Sister Miriam, somewhere, Brother Noah, she pulled her tambourine out when no one else was looking. When everybody else was screaming and crying and carrying on, she had it out. You ever been in a church where every young person has a tambourine? They got 50 tambourines going on in the service. I mean, no rhythm, but they're shaking that tambourine. Amen. I like that. That's all right with me. And Sister Miriam, I can hear it dangle beside her leg, because she's sitting there. She's looking at Pastor Moses. She's saying, oh, but I feel, the old Gaither song said, I feel like something good is about to happen. I feel like something good is on the way. Can I tell somebody? Isaiah said, look back to him. Let your anticipation get your hope back. Sister Miriam had that tambourine. While everybody else was crying, she was ready to start shouting on the other side. She said, he brought us a mighty long way. He delivered us out. And when she stepped on over, she had a song of praise. She had a worship service and began to glorify the God that delivered one more time. Come on here. Bear with me. Worship, it'll set the tone. It'll change the atmosphere. It'll do all of these things. Let me move on. Wait not only means to worship in this place of Scripture, but it also means to serve. You see, when you worship the Lord, it will change your perspective of your situation. It'll cause you to look at things differently. It'll cause you to look at life through a new lens as you begin to glorify. I'm not here preaching this morning saying that everything's going to be tiptoe through the tulips just because you got a song, just because you're singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It doesn't mean that all trouble fades away. But it'll sure give you an arsenal. Come on here. It sure is a powerful weapon to combat the enemy, to combat doubt, to combat discouragement. But let me say, if you're not careful, your situation not only can seem overwhelming, but sometimes our situations will cause us to be selfish. It'll cause us to be selfish, thinking about only our problem, thinking only about our situation. I'm not saying or trying to minimize your problem this morning or what your discouragement might be. But I will tell you this. When you begin to worship, not only are you getting your attention off the things that are around you, but you're also taking attention off of yourself. And as you magnify the Lord, but not only that, but as it says here, but they that worship. And also, let me tell you, young person, while you're standing in the crossroad of your life, while you're standing in a place of decision or dilemma or trial or tribulation, I believe one of the most powerful things that you can do is when you take upon yourself the heart of a servant, when you'll say, no matter what position I'm in, oh, come on here. No matter what's going on, I'm not expecting you to shout me down on this point, but this is good preaching. This is truth this morning. When you can get to the point, I don't know about you, I've been a couple times, I've taken my bride on anniversary dinners to a couple of fancy restaurants. Some of those places you can only afford once a year, you know. And we've been there, and they would take us into the table, and the waiter would come, he'd have on his bow tie and his jacket, and he'd pull our seats out for us, and he'd pop our napkins open and drape them across our legs, and he would come. We was at one place in the top of the Millennium Hotel in St. Louis, Missouri. They had a very nice Italian restaurant, and I took my sweetie out for Italian cuisine on our 10-year anniversary, and we got up there, and you had to wear a suit and a tie. I mean, it was nice. It was nice, and we was there, and they came out, and they was all taking care of everything, and there was one man, it was his job, and his job alone was to make sure that our glasses didn't get past the halfway mark, that we didn't lose any of our drink. We had another man took our order, had somebody else came for dessert, had other people bring bread and salad, but one man would come, he'd have his tray with his water pitcher or his tea pitcher. He'd say, Mr. Smith, do you need some more water? Sir, do you need some more tea? And he was running all over that restaurant. Can I tell you, there's something powerful when somebody has a heart to serve. There's something powerful. I pray to God that in this week of camp, there'd be some young people that'd say, I'm going to go beyond myself. I'm going to go beyond my problem. I'm going to go beyond my hurt. Can I serve you, Lord? What can I do? How can I serve? How can I benefit the kingdom? We need a generation that quits having their hand out for stuff all the time. And we need a generation that'll say, God, here I am to serve. Here I am to worship. Here I am to make a difference in the life of somebody else. Say something. It's more than being behind a pulpit. We can sit here. We say, oh man, I'd love to preach. I'd love to teach. I'd love to do that. My pastor, Brother Don Goodwin, he used to tell me, he said, son, that pulpit's about 10% of what we do. He said the other 90%, he said it's about serving people. It's about helping. It's about transforming lives. What could happen in your life if we got outside of ourselves? If we got past, Isaiah said, if you want to be transformed, if you want to be renewed, he said, you must worship and you must serve. You must wait. You would spin your youth pastor's head if you got back home, or tell your pastor, say, what can I do? How can I serve? What needs to be done? Young person, can I tell you, let's bust the cycle of selfishness and being self-centered and say, God, help me make a difference. This is what we need. This is what we need. This is what we need. Some would say, well, I can only get renewed by taking a break, taking a vacation, taking some time off, worrying about throwing a pity party. Oh, I've thrown some good pity parties now. I mean, I had burgers and hot dogs and hats and cakes and everything. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to eat some worms kind of pity parties. Come on here. Yeah. Been some times, Pastor Tom, I didn't want to get in the pulpit because I was hurt. Been some times I didn't feel like preaching, didn't feel like helping somebody because I was wounded, because I was discouraged. I'm not standing here saying you ain't never going to have a bad day, but there is something that changes when you say, you know what? Because the enemy wants to get us in a place where we're standing in a corner somewhere. He could care less if you come to church as long as you find a comfortable pew to park yourself on, a pew of do nothing, a pew of laziness and a lackadaisical spirit. But may God raise up a generation that'll say, we're not doing that. We ain't here just to be waited on. God's done something in my life so that I can make a difference. I believe right now is such a crucial time, not only for the church, in the sake of you, your faces that we're looking at, we need you. The kingdom of God desires your talent, desires your heart, desires your work. We don't come to youth camp so we can shout and run the aisles and hear great preaching and go home and say, my, I was so blessed. Pat ourselves on the back and say, oh boy, wasn't it grand and wasn't it wonderful? Let me tell you, you have the exclusive opportunity for the next 5 days to be inundated with the presence and power of God. He wants to pour into you, not so we can be spiritual gluttons that walk around saying, boy, how blessed we are, but he's going to pour into you this week so you can leave these campgrounds and go to your church, your community, your school, your family, your situation, and say, I'm here to serve. It's time for hell to take notice. It's time to make a declaration and say, we're going to make a difference. We're going to do something. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Worship and serve. Bear with me. Something powerful happens as they take heed to the man of God's word. He says, if you can do this, he says, the Lord will renew your strength. In other words, he's going to help. He's going to empower. He's going to use. The word of God says, and I like this analogy, and I find it very powerful as you begin to study this out, because he says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. I told you this morning I was going to preach on eagles' wings and dove's eyes. Bear with me, we're going to tie it all together here in a second. But within the scriptures, you'll come to find that there are some things, some symbolisms that show themselves often because there are attributes, attitudes, and characteristics of some of those symbolisms that God wants to use to empower, that he wants us to incorporate in our lives, that he wants us to take part in. And the eagle is one of these. That is that symbol of strength and grace, power, majestic, it's beautiful. Our national bird, I think it's interesting to find that if Thomas Jefferson had his way, our national bird would have been the turkey. He thought the turkey was a more noble bird. And he was pulling and pushing for America to be represented by a turkey. Can you imagine a big old fat gobbler up there on our national monuments and everything else, and everybody else said, no, we're gonna go with the eagle as they begin to have this discussion. You'll find it interesting that an eagle on her body will have as many as 7,000 feathers, a wingspan that can reach anywhere from 8 to, they've measured some, that is 11 foot in length. massive, huge. As a matter of fact, biologists would tell you that pound for pound, that an eagle's wing, pound for pound, and again, this is in comparison, that pound for pound, the eagle's wing is stronger than the wing of an airplane. It has the ability to carry its young and to soar not only high in altitude, but to carry itself long distances as it takes its wings and begins to fly and soar in the air. I found it interesting that the Lord said, if I can get my people to look to me again, if they can worship and if they can serve, some would say, Brother Jake, in the place that I'm in and what's going on, I barely have the strength to do anything. I barely have the want to do anything. I barely find the ability to even get up and go on. There's some days, Brother Jake, you don't understand. I've got to drag myself to church. I got to drag myself to youth group. My youth pastors had to beg me to get into youth camp this year. I just don't feel like it. I'm just struggling. I'm just having a bad day. But can I say, today is that when you begin to worship and you begin to serve, some transformation takes place. Something begins to happen. Isaiah said, there's going to be something that changes in your life. There's going to be something that transforms in your heart. There's going to be something that gives you the extra oomph, that gives you the ability to go another mile. He said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That word mount, one of the definitions that I found, it means to fix and to position for purpose and service. I like that. To position or fix for purpose or service. Can I say this morning, as we look across the congregation, I believe there are some young people who are waiting and who are ready. You'd say, Brother Jake, I'm willing to worship. I'm willing to serve. I'm willing to do whatever I need to do. I want to be fixed. I want to be positioned for the purpose of God and for the service of God. I want to mount up. I want Him to place upon me those wings as an eagle. Why is it so important? Number one, I want you to understand that an eagle can fly, and she gets her strength to fly with the ability that is uncanny with such a long wingspan. There were scientists that followed a female eagle for 2 years. And as they watched her, they began to study her flight pattern. And as they were studying her flight pattern, they began to notice that eagle, she could flap her wings just a couple of times, those big old wings, and it would give her the lift to begin her flight, that she didn't have to use all of her strength and all of her resource, because she was going to find strength and resource and power in other places that was going to carry her to her destination. Come on here. That was going to carry her to her destination. I find it interesting that eagle could flap her wings just a couple times, and they begin to notice as they studied her flight pattern that when she would go down into a valley, come on here, when she would go down into a valley, that the warm air currents that would come up from the valley floor would be the very thing that would lift her up into new heights. You see, what happens is, for the eagle, I know that in preaching we hear about the valley. We all know about the dangers of the valley. David mentioned the valley of the shadow of death. We talk about the valley as a place we want to hurry up and get through. But to the eagle, she says, if I can get down in that valley, I'm going to catch another current that's going to take me up where I can climb to altitudes I've never been before. Can I tell somebody, when you worship, when you serve, when you've got a heart for the kingdom, and when you're discouraged and despondent, God said, I'm going to renew your strength. I'm going to give you wings as an eagle. Can I tell a young person, The valley might kill everybody else. The valley might discourage everybody else. The valley might take everybody else down. But for the child of God who's mounted up with wings as an eagle, when we get down in the valley, we just catch another current that takes us up again. We take a fresh breath and a new breeze that helps us to climb to new altitudes. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to fly. I'm ready to soar. I'm ready to get to the place that God has. And even in the valley, I can find the strength that's going to carry me the next mile of the way. Her wings, but not only in the valley, but she also catches warm air currents going up the side of a mountain. So, Brother Jake, the journey ahead of me, it's tough. I don't know how I'm going to go through the valleys. I don't know how I'm going to climb the mountains. But God uses the things, small things, simple things of this world to confound the wise. And when others would say, you're going to die trying to climb that mountain. Come on here. You're going to die trying to go through that valley. To the one that God has fixed and positioned and given them those eagle's wings. What happens is every valley and every mountain we climb is a new opportunity to get a new gust of wind, to get a new place, to get our course set, to climb to higher altitudes because we're gaining new strength. The eagle's wings, the eagle's body also, what's so important and imperative about it, and I'm hurrying on here, what's important and imperative about it is that there comes a point in time where an eagle will molt its feathers. It'll shed its feathers. As a matter of fact, it is commonly believed that eagles live to be of a very old age. But what happens is when they reach an old age and they're getting tired and they're getting weary and they're at a place where they don't think they can go on any further, and they're at a place they don't think they can make it another mile, what happens is they will shake loose and they will molt and lose those feathers that have been on them, that has been with them through every place, every corridor, every place of landscape that they've flown across. And they will shake those feathers loose. And underneath those old feathers are brand new feathers. And when it simply means they shall renew their strength, that old eagle gets new vigor and it gets new life and it finds new purpose and it finds new power. I don't know about you, young person, but I've been through some places and I've been through some things. I've had some old stuff sticking on me. I've had some things in my past hanging on to me. And I wonder today who would take on those wings as eagles. I wonder today who would shake loose and molt some feathers and say, I know I've got a history. I know I got a past. I know I've got been through some things. But today, I'm going to shake it off and I'm going to get renewed. I'm going to go the distance. I'm going to go to places that I've never been before. Oh, the Word of God said that all things are passed away and behold, all things become new. Molt those feathers, because what happens is there comes a point in time that the enemy wants to weight you down. He wants to get you in a place where you don't think you can go another mile. You can't do anything else. But I came to declare to somebody today, there is a destination. There is a city. There is a home I'm going to. There's work to be done. There's souls to lead along the way. And it's time to gain new life. It's time to mount up. It's time to find our purpose and our power and see what God is going to do. Hearts and lives. Music, if you'd come. Last but not least, I could talk a little bit about the eagle's eye because it can do tremendous things. But this morning, I must share with you some significant things I found about a dove's eye. in doing my studies and looking at different things, symbolisms in Scripture, the eagle was very predominant as well, the dove. And we know the symbolism of the dove in comparison to the Holy Ghost. But there's something very unique about a dove's vision. An eagle, of course, can see for miles and miles. You've heard of the old story or the old cliche, they have an eagle eye where you can see. But something very powerful about the dove, not only is I think it imperative that as we worship, as we wait, as we position ourselves, God says, I'll renew you, I'll give you strength with the wings of an eagle. The valleys and mountains will give you the ability to soar to new places. You can molt those feathers and be renewed in strength and power. Shake off the things of the past. Get loose from the things as to what once was and have new vigor. But also, there is the dove's eye. The dove has the ability, the innate ability, to focus on one thing, to zero in on one target. A dove does not have peripheral vision. The dove cannot see to the right, and it cannot see to the left out of the sides of its eyes. It can only look straight on. And as I was thinking of this, and young people, as we are believing God to fulfill His will in our lives, for us to fulfill our purpose and our plan that He has for us. New strength, new power, a new course, new direction. I believe more than ever before, we're going to have to focus. Going to have to focus in. There's a disease, if you want to say, or a medical term, ADD, attention deficit disorder. I think we have a whole society that's got it. We're looking here and we're looking over there and it's crept into the church, and we're looking over here and we're looking over there and we're seeing all that shiny and that's new and this is neat and wow, this is going on, and we don't focus anymore. If I can say this, this is why every retreat and every camp, some of us got to pray through all over again. Some of us aren't fulfilling God's plan in our lives because we'll go for a while, but we're losing focus. But the dove has the ability. She looks in at one thing. She looks in at one thing, and her eyes are fixed, and that's what she's going for. This morning, I believe that God would want to transform, that God would want to do a work and give us eagle's wings and dove's eyes. When we look at this, the Song of Solomon says in verse 1 and chapter 1, verse 15, says, Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. They were saying this because, in other words, their love only had eyes for them. They were focused and fixated. Nothing else distracting, nothing else in the way, but they would see clearly. Song of Solomon chapter 5 and 12, speaking of the bridegroom of Christ, says His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. Not only do I believe our focus this morning should be upon Christ, His will and His plan. But you must understand that His focus is on you. His eyes are set. He's watching. He sees. This morning, in this house, no matter what your circumstance is, no matter how hopeless things might seem, no matter how destitute, distraught, or disturbed it might be, I pray that God would renew you today. I pray you take upon your heart and say, I'm going to turn my attention unto Him. I'm going to worship. I'm going to serve. And in doing so, he's going to position me and fix me with those eagle's wings for his purpose, his plan. Lord, not only give me eagle's wings, but give me dove's eyes that I can focus in on what you have. Help me to focus in on you. What's been distracting you? What's been deterring you from God's plan? What is it that he's had his hand on your life? What are some things that possibly even from camps gone on before that you could show me the place in the altars where he spoke to your heart, but it's been on standby because you've lost your focus somewhere? With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, as we're gathered here this morning, I want to challenge your heart. I believe the Holy Ghost would challenge your heart today to say, would you one more time turn your attention unto him? Would you one more time, would you remember what he's done? Would you think about what he has fulfilled and accomplished in your life? And Lord, would you give me the strength to worship? Lord, would you help me to serve? Would you help me to go beyond myself? Would you give me new purpose and new power? Oh God, would you mount me up with eagle's wings? Help me that I'm able to soar. Help me that I'm able to fly. Help me, God, that I'm able to reach the destination. Give me focus. Give me dove's eyes. Help me to see. Fixate my eyes upon your plan and your will. This morning, young person, as you're here this week seeking the will of God, the plan of God, desiring his will and his way, I want to challenge you this morning. You'd say, Brother Jake, I'm here today. It's time to be renewed. It's time to be refreshed. It's time for me to worship. It's time for me to serve. And I believe in doing so, God is going to transform my life, my heart, my mind, my position. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. If you're here this morning, you'd say, Brother Jake, that's me. I want renewed. I want restored. I want to keep my focus. Why don't we come? Let's come on and find ourselves a place in these altars this morning. Why don't we come and say, Lord, would you help me? Would you give me eagle's wings? Would you give me dove's eyes? God, would you give me new sense of direction? Would you reposition me? Would you help me to focus in? Would you help me today, God? Oh, as I worship, as I serve, Lord, as I see my course set, would your plan be fulfilled? Would it be fulfilled and revealed to me in my heart and my life? Come on, young people. Lift those hands in worship. Lift those hearts today. Oh, and cry out to say, Lord, here I am. Would you renew? Would you restore? Would you give me focus? Would you give me clarity? I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to work. I'm ready to do what you'd have me to do. Hiyadabo satalabokaya. Hiyadadada.